Nice to have Luke and Jen.
Yay!
Back, welcome back, guys. Good to have you guys. Everything's safe again. Luke got back and slipped right in. Chased the guy down the road the other day. Day one. Successfully.
Yeah.
Successfully got the hand back. I reckon it's all about bicycle helmets. Wearing a helmet in your everyday life, you get more done. I reckon, take more risks. Claire, what is the funniest tweet you read this week? Do you remember?
It wasn't one of those.
I only have serious
tweeters.
Okay. But Gaz sent some funny ones. What's tweet? Gaz? Thomas Twitter. I didn't send funny ones.
It's
a whole thing
on
the
internet, it's a whole internet thing.
I liked, my cousin Craig said, I like rusks way more than risks. It's pretty good. Then our friend Doug tweeted him back this photo of a rusk tin. It's quite a cool photograph and the whole thing going on about rusks and risks. Guys in Joburg, it's cold there. They're trying coffee and rusks. I'm just coming down after realizing how hard it is to be Mumford and Sons. Damn hard, eh? Standing there, losing your voice, kicking a screwdriver. Hectic. If you got a Bible with you, let's get cracking. John 3, 16. Who needs a Bible? John 3, 16. I'm going to read it out of the Amplified version. Gaz, have you managed to get one yet? Are you enjoying it?
Amplified Bible.
So just in case you're wondering, please stop me at any time and ask me a question if you need to. We want to be relaxed about everyone coming along the same pace. Yeah, I sent that email this week about listening to the podcasts, and I wanted to just pick up on that briefly, because basically between Gaz and I and Candy now, she's also joined us, we listen to them. The three of us are the only ones who download them ever.
I'm just joking, we can't
actually see who's doing it, just in case, it's just a joke. But if you want to know, you go to that site, wcc.withtank.com, and there's a few options. If you're not an iTunes user, there's another way. There's a back office way there for you. I don't know how it works, but I've put a link there for you. And it takes you the way of the PC.
And you can't fast forward and rewind, hey?
It's driving me crazy that you can't do that.
You have to
like
the whole thing.
No,
you just got
to update your whatever you're using.
iTunes.
Oh.
Oh. So it's there. And more importantly than we get our download numbers up, just want to say that we're trying to strategically establish each other's minds, renew our minds, and go somewhere together. There's a direction. There is a direction of this bus, this ship, and those like consecutive weeks, it's building on something, you know. And I can even see the difference when I miss a week of hearing. And this is an age-old thing that churches talk about. We're totally fine with you missing a Sunday. But from a point of view of really, like, as I see God taking us in a certain way, and also Gaz, from a real teaching point of view, we're trying to, like, establish, like, build on. So that's why I'm encouraging you, not to burden you to listen to it, but more just to stay together and this unity as we like catch everything that gets said and shared, so that they're not faltered. If you've never gone and listened, it's everything that happens the whole night. So it's like sometimes it's quiet, and then like Roger went and drank some water, and so it's pretty. But when there's a guy talking, it's there. It's clear. So, yeah, please go and check them out if you missed something. And yeah, also go back. John 3:16. Let's get involved here. The Amplified Bible. If you want to know what I want to talk about, I'm talking about God as a giver tonight. God is a giver. And I'm hoping that you all get addicted to giving. For God so greatly loved, I'm reading out of the Amplified, for God so greatly loved and dearly prized the world that he even gave up his only begotten unique Son, so that whoever believes in, trusts in, clings to, relies on him shall not perish, come to destruction, be lost, but have eternal everlasting life. 17. For God did not send the Son into the world in order to judge, to reject, to condemn, to pass sentence on the world, but that the world might find salvation and be made safe and sound through him. He who believes in him, who clings to, who trusts in, relies on him, is not judged. He who trusts in him never gives up, never comes up for judgment. For him there is no rejection, no condemnation. He incurs no damnation. But he who does not believe, cleave to, rely on, trust in him, is judged already. He has already been convicted and has already received his sentence, because he has not believed in and trusted in the name of the only begotten Son. He's condemned for refusing to let his trust rest in Christ's name. John 3:16. I was swept up this week by how generous God is. I was worshiping him on Tuesday, my guitar, and you know that feeling where you're overcome, and you just gotta say, ho! Oh. You know that feeling? Do you guys have that feeling? Luke has it all the time. Just want to tell you guys, there's a comedy prayer meeting that happens at 5 here on the Sunday night, because it's basically Luke and I, and then Jess is playing guitar, and we wave flags, and then Luke makes me laugh, basically. It's phenomenal. Yeah, I swept up, and God, just realizing how this, he gave his only Son for us, and the like intense generosity, because I think, and that's why I felt like we should go back to John tonight, because it's the purest, cleanest understanding we all have of the first act of generosity that's happened for us. And I was experiencing it not because of like, oh, I've been saved and that was good. I was just experiencing how good God is, you know, and I feel like I've almost neglected just to think on that for a while. So then I did, and I started reading John again and understanding how Jesus was given to us as this gift, and God greatly prized us so much that he did it. And as you know, I've been really coming to understand generosity a lot lately. And what I realized is how much we are God's treasure. And this thing of where your treasure is, your heart will be. And we went at the money meeting a few weeks ago. We were talking about that, and I was realizing how much God put his heart on the earth. I mean, over us, you know, because that's pretty much what he did. Jesus personifies God, and he's an exact representation of God, and so he put his heart on the earth. It's his treasure. He put him there. And I was just realizing again how intense it is that we are his treasure. That he put that on us. That's why it was easy to give. And that's what I've been experiencing, and how easy it becomes to give when your treasure's in God. And it's more blessed to give than receive. And I felt so clearly these last 4 or 5 weeks how, I promise you, the buzz the excitement that wells up in you when you're starting to give is like, it far outweighs getting a great gift from Sweden. Thanks for the lights. Luke and Jen gave me some nice bicycle lights. Me and Jess. And I promise you, the sense, like, I honestly, you could have just come back. I wanted to give you something, you know? I'm surprised I haven't already, because like, it becomes so addictive to put your treasure in something that is of God. You know, like, He's done it on us for eternity. He's given us His heart. And we His treasure. It's just phenomenal. Just let that hit you. You are God's treasure. He greatly prized you so much that He even gave His treasure to you. It's amazing. It's phenomenal. And the more we catch it and we see God and what He's done for us and that we're His treasure, we have to start to respond. You know? And I think we're busy doing that now just with joy, because it's so good. And you just start to shout back at Him, "You're my treasure." And that makes you look a certain way. It makes you change. That's what makes you a believer. That moment of, "You my treasure." Back to God. And that's praise. Proverbs 27:21 talks about silver. I thought Karen would be here. I was going to ask her how to pronounce the word salter or scepter or something. Silver is tested in the scepter. Salter. Do you know that word, anyone? Gold in the furnace and man by his praise. Scepter. Silver is tested by the scepter. Gold in the furnace and man by his praise. Proverbs 27:21. And the Amplified talks about in what he boasts. Man's tested by in what he boasts. And I was just thinking how profound that is, that this response that we get to give back to God as our treasure, and this boasting in God, this life of praise is really what we measure it by. Being able to understand and receive the generosity that's been put on us, that it was just this undeserved great gift, and then just realize it's so amazing. And you're actually compelled. You don't even have to sit there and think, "I must do something." You're so compelled by the revelation of it. That was what was happening to me this week when I just sat there and I just said, "Oh." I shouted, and a few nights ago, one of our neighbors was shouting. That was frightening. Like, "Help," and all those kind of terrible noises that you hear when in like 12 and 1 in the morning, and you hear like someone shouting "help" and you come out of sleep. And I was doing the same, but so I kind of felt like I had to stop because my neighbors might have thought I was in trouble. But I just kept realizing this gift. Every time I like stopped thinking on the generosity that God had given me, I would think, "Yes, that's so good." And I would go right back in and just have to go, "Oh, man, that's so nice." Do you guys ever do that? Have you ever? Because I really hope. We did a lot of that early on at 5 o'clock. Man. It's this moment, and this is what happened to me this week, the moment that the emphasis went back onto God. You know? On the generosity of God. And it's just mind-blowing. Just turn me, and that's what praise is. It's just realizing the emphasis is on Him. You know, like you say, how do I become a worshiper? Just think, where's my emphasis? You know? Is it on whether I'm doing it, or Luke's doing it, or Jess is leading us, or is it on whether God's done something great for you? And it's been really good. Yeah, so I'm finding myself shouting a lot. Just because you kind of, you know, when you're reading something good, Gaz, you'll know this, when you're reading something good and you see a good revelation, it's just like something great. What do you do?
Amazing.
Do you say, you speak it out?
Yeah.
I have to like shake my head a bit. I like shake my brain because I was like, "Whoa, man, it's good."
I'll go like,
"No, it's good." You see? I have to, but it's like just natural. I want to like shake it off me because it's so good. Do you know that feeling? Something's like so good. You almost feel like you've got to shake it off you. It's like, "Oh, man, lovely." Yeah. Yeah, man. So, the fruit of our lives of generosity, I was thinking, the fruit is really something that often holds us, and this thought of like, what is the fruit of this? What is the fruit of what I'm doing? What is the fruit of my life? What is the fruit? It like really becomes quite a firm grip on us, this measuring ourselves thing. I felt like God wanted to break off that on people tonight, that you know, the fruit in the kingdom is not measured by a man's yards, you know, or knowledge, or you know, depth, or even generosity. You know, the fruit in the kingdom is measured by God. And I love those kind of things in the Bible where God just says, "That's for me to know and understand." The mystery sides, it just always excites me. And in response to reading Proverbs 27:21 about man being measured by his praise, I see that for us as a church, this direction of where we need to go is that we need to let the amount of God's presence in our lives be the measuring stick. In another way, to say the same thing in another way, how much we are able to enjoy God. Do you know what I mean? How much we're able to enjoy God. Like, and that's why I'm talking about our minds and getting renewed and going on. How much more are you able to enjoy God? Like, in your physical, like, are you free? Like, Luke and I, he's getting really free. And you are, bro. It's amazing. Has anyone seen Michael Flatley? This cat is... It's wild. Oh, man. Shika Bongi. Yo. Yeah. We need to have God, the amount of God that is in our lives, and the amount that we are joyful in Him, be the measuring stick in our lives. Wait, do you agree? Say preach, or say my name twice or something. Yeah, man. Yes. Thank you. Is everyone with me? And I'm a little bit sporadic. I don't really care if this is structured or not. Thanks, man. Thanks, brother. Literally. Okay, so people often ask me, how do I know that I'm really connecting with God? I want to tell you the answer is how thankful you are. So, oh. Yeah, man. The voice of intimacy is thankfulness. Mm. Yeah? Coming out of us. Mm. Voice of intimacy is thankfulness.
Can't not
be. Oh, man. You know, intimacy results in giving. Thankfulness. Has to. Something my dad told me, intimacy results in evangelism. Evangelism is a bit of a dirty word, so I'm going with giving. And I've been, yes. It works both ways, though. Like, the more you give and the more you're thankful, the more intimate you are. You're with me. So, it's, yeah. I think in those times people say, like, should I keep tithing when I'm just like in a good space and not needing. I think you give, and then it brings you back into more of God. And this isn't about tithes, everyone, tonight. But if you want to give your money, I'll give you the details. Yeah, the voice of intimacy is thankfulness. So that's what you should measure yourself by. How thankful you are to God on a daily basis. When you wake up and you say, oh, thank you, Lord. Thank you, my Lordy. Because we settle for too little. Religion says we want too much. You can't, you know, you're like expecting too much of this. Now, come on, you're going a bit far. And we settle for too little, and God wants us to settle for a triple, double portion. Luke emailed us on Monday and said, yes, you guys are getting such double portions of the goodness of God. He was like, oh man, the triple I had was amazing. Yeah, man. Last week was fun, eh? Did everyone enjoy God's presence? That was good, eh? Roger really deposited something in us, I think. It was nice. Okay, so how do you know if you're walking in God correctly? Not a trick question. What do you think is like a really practical, we're talking about alpha, we're talking about giving our life away.
Execute it as much as possible.
Ooh. Oh man. Shika bazooka. Did you hear Julian said that? That was funny.
Yeah. Thank you,
full of hope.
Expectancy of good.
Mm.
Yeah. And joy. Our joy is a big thing.
Vision, that's a big one for me.
Vision?
Living with purpose, vision.
Like cool. Bigger picture. I think it's when people want to be your friend.
Sure.
And I think we need to make that a goal. Not to water ourselves down so that we can become these bland, seeker-aware people who everyone feels comfortable around. No, we must have triple portion available for anyone who comes near us of the goodness of God. It must be like that. They must literally feel like they're friends with God.
Yeah.
And I think that is a way that we should start to measure ourselves. And we're coming into the season where many of us have for a long time been very good and faithful at friendship evangelism, like being with people and being their friend. And Scott Bain's thing about being with people is something. We're getting it. We've done it. But like Gaz said, it's like to breach that thing, to just like come across. God's been wanting a platform, so we're going for this course. And I see God, like really, he's been readying us. And now he's going to take us into a place where people actually want to come and be our friends because of who we are in God. And it's not going to be just like nice because they're nice and they're into what I'm into anymore. It's going to be because of who we are in God. And that other stuff's going to fall away. And I'm hoping that Alpha is going to be the thing that ushers this in. So I really want to exhort you to be extremely prayerful, fast over it, pray, get serious about it, about Alpha coming up. No, I was thinking we should maybe meet again this week on a Wednesday, I think maybe, and take time to pray into it. Pray over it, like your specific people that are going to say no, we pray over those ones, we pray into the whole thing, and because I'm very excited about it. So a good measuring stick is when it's nice to be your friend and they feel like they're friends with God. In Woodstock, this is a dangerous thing to say because we're always using discernment and reason and wisdom and his addict and whatever. But I think when a beggar comes to your door, you should say, thanks for coming. Like, I really feel like there's this thing that's been welling up in me. So I'm so grateful that someone brought me a chance to give because I realized what happened to me. You know, it just was put on my head that I just got given this biggest gift and I'm free, I'm not condemned. And people come, a need arises, the Spirit prompts me, I just say, thank you so much for coming to my door. You know, in whatever that way is, whatever your door is, thanks for coming to the door. So, I dare you, Josh. When Gary comes later tonight. We've got these two twins, for those of you who don't know in Woodstock. Preaching, I'm going to do a little preaching example now. They'll stand at your gate and they'll shout your name. I'm going to just use Mariah because it was a good example because I witnessed it happen. Not loud enough, it would be more irritating.
Way loud.
Way loud. You're talking like 11, 12 minutes of that. With a sort of on the 2 minute interval. Josh and I are having a Sunday siesta. Well, 1 in the morning. Literally, 15 minutes. Literally. I want to say that we should start thanking the twins for coming. if the Lord's in it. So, yeah, I think guys, like, there's addictions and stuff. That's us saying Woodstock. It's a bit interesting when I say this. But a chance to give, we should be grateful for it. We should be so grateful and thankful for it. Not to support an addiction, use discernment. But a chance to give like that, when it presents itself, and I gave a few of my stories away last 2 weeks, 3 weeks ago when we had that generosity talk about the girl with the glasses. I keep seeing her face. I just think it's the funniest thing. I just think it should be like that. When you get this chance to give, it's just because, like, you see something that's so funny, it's not right. And just like breaks you up, you want to laugh your head off. That the glasses were like... It was wild. She had taped them with masking tape or something. And it was just like she was just presenting me the, like, comedy while I got a chance to give. Just brilliant. And yeah, this week, you know, the other thing, people often talk about don't tell people how you give and stuff. But I think we should just relax with everyone, because we know we're not trying to build ourselves up. We're trying to build God up. So tell the stories, because it's funny and it's worth it. Maybe not all of them. Some of them you feel like are a treasure and you got to do that alone with God. Do that. But I think some of them we must share. We mustn't need to feel like, I think it's almost, it's fake humility, like trying to keep them to yourself, like, ooh, you know, I actually tipped that guy. And I think we should just say it, you know, like I gave the guy double the bill last night and yes, blew his mind. We should say that, because it stirs and encourages and inspires the rest of us. So let's not...
I had a rad moment this week. I did.
Claire, let me just say before you say that, you sound funny, because the last time you said something like this, you started in the exact same way, and you said... No, not like funny, like your accent or anything. No, you said... Yeah, you were like... Oh, yeah, exactly. Thanks, guys. You were like... You sounded like an absolute druggie. I'm paradise. Paradise is me. And you were like... You were just like this... I'm in paradise. Oh, it's me.
Paradise.
Yeah, it was awesome. I went back and listened to it because I thought it was so good. So... And you kind of tell us the story.
Okay. No, it was just like, sometimes giving is not just imparting something but knowledge. And this week, for the first time, I got to teach a Zimbabwean friend how to use an ATM.
Wow.
It was like, it blew my mind. It was the best experience ever.
Amazing.
He didn't know how to use ATM, and then I got to like, I showed him which bank, like,
was so cool.
Yeah.
You remember his pin code?
No. And sorry.
No, thank you, Claire. I'm so empty. Keep saying it. I'll play that audio for you guys. It's wild. A generous heart is a cheerful heart. From the Proverbs. As Claire said, I think we don't need to always measure it by giving money away or time or whatever. I think we should also measure it by how much of the revelation we're getting of God away. As we get our minds renewed, we need to release that stuff, because it establishes you as you start to give it away. You know, like you go for counseling and the guy's actually just a good listener, charging too much, because you're just doing everything yourself. You know, you're just building yourself up. And... I feel like that with the revelations we're getting with each other, we need to release that amongst each other all the time. Like, yes, I had such a moment today, and God renewed my mind in this way, and it was just profound. And did you see that aspect that when Jesus went under, this is something Josh and I did the other day, Jesus went under the water to take our sin. You know, all the Jews were getting baptized by John Baptist, and then their sin was there, and there was no Savior yet, and Jesus went there to fetch the sin, and then he carried it to the cross. It's just something I never thought of, and it's just like one of those things, wow, interesting. I got that from the Catholics. So, you can receive from anyone. Even Pope Joseph Ratzinger. I'm reading his book, it's been profound. No, some of these people in this in this house or otherwise. Let's talk about balance. Yeah, we had a discussion the other day about certain beliefs of different kinds of people and churches, and we came up at odds. Let's talk about balance, because at the money meeting we had a few weeks ago, it was nice. There was at least four of us interested in money and used it and came to the meeting. Me, Candy, Kath, Luke, because Luke and I were running it. So it was basically Luke and I. We made Kerr stay, because she was actually fetching the sugar, and then yeah, we gave her a Chinese bangle that she stayed, and then, and Jess also, because she lives there, so basically, yeah, Candy and Kath came and really enjoyed the meeting, and the thing for me that I really enjoyed, besides the rad discussion we had, it was no agenda on the meeting, but was that I want to just keep telling everyone we need to have balance in, like, if we're going somewhere in the renewing of our minds, we must be going there too at the same pace with money. Like, if we're starting to feel like there's an abundance of salvation on me, there must be an abundance of money in us, on this church, on what we do, on us individually. In the same way, there should be an abundance of intercession, there should be abundance of compassion. You know what I mean? I feel like we need to keep that pendulum. Is it the pendulum? Keep dancing. Keep the praise. It's the thing I've been talking about tonight. I feel like there should be not only an abundance of tangible things, physical things like that, there should be an abundance of praise in our lives. That we should literally have sound coming out of our homes all the time. Like living sound. Not necessarily hill songs booming out of your window. But if that's what you're doing that day, that's fine. As long as you're not my neighbor. But living sounds, like life sounds responding to who God is, praising Him. I feel like we need to really be aware that, yeah, there is a very good place that we can come to where there's unity amongst us, because we're moving from many different aspects at the same speed, and we're not just overemphasizing one thing and forgetting about the other. So that's why we had the money meeting. We just were saying we don't need money, but why not? Let's have it, you know. And yeah, we want to keep balanced. We don't just like become these like great believers who actually don't have anything else going on. You know, like we like really renewed in our minds and we get like amazing triple portions and goosebumps and everything. But we don't have really anything tangible going on in other areas of our lives as a church. Mercy and compassion. And I was reading my notes on when you preached about compassion, Jen, the other day, and I was quite stirred by that again. So I was just thinking about different things like that. We need to be aware. I think balance becomes something that actually inspires and stirs you to go forward. You know, Jesus was really balanced. He had a lot of prayer in his life, and I'm sure he ate well. Yeah. Says he bribed, I mean, fish bribes. So he was eating and he drank good wine. And so there was balance, you know. I think speech is something I've been thinking about a lot in terms of balance. And just to say to you, you know, just as much as where your treasure is, your heart will be, what you say indicates what's going on in your heart. And I feel like as God's renewing our minds and we becoming more established in who we really are, we need to change the way we speak.
Yeah.
Something that I'm not going to put on anyone, but there's certain phrases that we use when we pray as like Christian people from South Africa. And a lot of it's like because we don't want to presume on God. And it almost indicates a lack of confidence in who we really are and what we can actually ask of God and how we can come to Him. So for example, the word just. You say, Lord, would you mind just? Maybe. You know? Oh, no one says that really, maybe, it was a bit too far. But the just is quite common. And I just think, I mean, I'm not going to like go, oh, you just said just to anyone. So just keep saying just because it's a habit for many people. But there needs to be this continual balance in us, like the way we're speaking. just as much as the way we're giving and we being merciful. And I think speech is very important because it's so powerful, because it indicates what's going on in our hearts, this confidence that we really are getting full of faith. And when we start to come to God and we're confident and we say, God, we speak healing in that thing, like replace the ligament, you know,
yeah,
bless the business. And you, I see prayers get shorter, as we realized. Go read Galatians 2 verse 20, just talking about how Christ is in us and that He is the faith that's in us. And when we start to understand that God is actually the faith, we don't have to drum it up. We start to speak differently. We understand that and we start to think, I don't need to like go and get faith. I have faith, so I'm going to live with faith. And it'll change the way you speak. Drew.
So someone was telling me, I don't know what exactly, but they were saying how they noticed that in our community we encourage each other, like when we see each other a lot, it's like, oh, you're looking beautiful, you know, such a strong look here, good looking there, that kind of thing. They were saying it stood out for them. It was like, whoa, it's quite a, you know, it's unusual, which is quite a scary thought about society, in that it's so hard to tell someone that they're awesome or amazing, or that I enjoyed your cooking, or got a red bicycle, nice guys, or anything, right? And that's,
yeah,
it was kind of cool to hear that. But they were thinking that it was refreshing to hear people encouraging each other, you know, encouraging each other to, you know, start businesses or run a shop or something like that. So it's kind of cool.
Yeah, we've been talking a lot about community of affirmation. Let's keep talking about it. Let's keep being it. Keep pushing each other. Be gentle, affirm, encourage. Go read James on that, talking about how we should be with each other. James 5. So yeah, in all areas we must be balanced as people. I guess tonight is about God's a giver, but it's about lots of things. It's a bit of a Warren Buffett. Unity commands a blessing, Glenn once said to me.
From,
yeah. And I think these kind of things, when we start to have an understanding of like the like-mindedness of people who want to really go after the same things at the same pace, and like not just overemphasizing one thing because someone's not totally into that as much as others. And there's a real sense of unity, not just in like, oh, we're really united, we don't like backstab each other. Unity in God is taking us there. Unity in that God really wants us to go to this new place together, and we start to do that. It really does mean we'll be blessed. Just out of unity. It's like a really simple formula. So I think I'm exhorting you, whatever you do, if it unifies, carry on doing it. If it doesn't, stop doing it. If it brings anything other than unity, don't do it from the point of view of our family. Because the grace that's been shown to us, it's profound, and we need to enjoy that revelation of God, of how exciting unity is. Like Drew's saying, like a community that's safe to affirm. Yeah. When you understand who you are by grace, it enables you to live out and affirm others into fullness. So I think we are ready. There's a lot of examples in each other's lives of how affirmation has brought us into fullness and is bringing us into fullness continuously. You need to affirm each other into new things, new ventures, whatever. So John 3:18, when it talks about condemnation there, talking about how those of us that are in Christ are not condemned and those that aren't in Christ are condemned. I was thinking about this and how there's an overemphasis in our lives on eternity, and there's little emphasis on God now, like in our thought. There's like a line in our minds that says, you know, I've been saved, Jesus came, and I've got eternal life. And when John's saying here about people being condemned who aren't in Christ, I don't think it's a matter of like they're condemned on the judgment day. They're living in continuous condemnation because they're living a life without Christ. So I was thinking there's overemphasis on my eternal life and what's coming and the good thing and heaven is going to be great. Can't wait to, you know, do what I love doing, bottomless. And there's an underemphasis on where I am right now and what I've been given right now, and that I'm not condemned right now. And I'm not taking away from Judgment Day, and the Bible's really clear on things like that, but people are living in continual judgment all the time. So their condemnation is present, just like yours is not. And that should be a huge cause to celebrate that generosity of your head, that there's no condemnation on you. And so I'm encouraging and inspiring, I hope, to say the great thing is that we get to be with Jesus. We get to be with Him right now. That there's, you know, nothing can compare. Absolutely nothing can compare. What do you think?
It's good news.
Yeah, it has to be, yeah. Are there any questions? No. I hope this has been helpful. I've invited the prophet Josh. Josh is a real prophet. Don't, I read today just about when Jesus was in Nazareth. Don't mock a prophet, eh? Receive a prophet in the name of a prophet and you'll get a prophet's reward. So he's a prophet. He's proved himself many, many a time. And I've invited him to really purposefully come and prophesy of us tonight. So, yeah, on that note, receive a righteous man and you'll get a righteous man's reward. The same way, I think, is a good example of what I'm talking about as a community. Really beginning to receive each other as righteous.
Yeah.
It's quite a different picture. Eh? It's pretty different. Yeah, we get to be with Jesus. It's very exciting. I just pray that over all of you guys this week, there's just a lot of those shouting moments. Those. Yeah. Jess and I and Luke went to Lynn's house for dinner last night. Lynn is quite a night owl because we got home at 2. And I think that's an indication of when there's life on a conversation,
yeah,
that we could just do that. I'm using it as a very current example because it was last night, and I think our lives need to be like that, where there's life on our thinking on God. There's life on it. It keeps you up. You start to enjoy that. If it's not that, stop what you're doing and just take a rethink, because it needs to be life-giving. Because He gave you something and you just need to be going, wow. Yeah. So, Prophet Josh, would you arise, brother? Guys, we don't have to be strange at all. We probably will, depending on what God starts to do, we'll probably worship in song together a bit more. But I really encourage you now, start to think on God, what I've been saying, if the Holy Spirit can highlight something of what I said. And just think on God, and we begin to wait on Him. And we'll see what happens. It's not going to be strange. If chochos start coming out, we'll do it graciously, if there is such a way.
Caleb said he invited me to... Prophet tonight. That was about 10 minutes ago. It's pretty awesome. I can't really manufacture anything out of my own
mind.
And I still don't have anything the Lord said when I get onto the Latin's carpet over here. Oh! He will still deliver. The one thing I wanted to just say, one thing that I during worship, the word that I got was a very angry word. That's repentance.
And the reason I think it's accurate is a lot of bad stuff we've grown up, well, I've certainly grown up with the word repentance. So, oh man, do that again. I get up in front and on my knees weeping in front of the Lord, and I'm sorry for the loss there. But my friend Gareth Hedden over here really helped me understand repentance to be a beautiful word. Because repentance actually means to return to a high level of thinking. And the high level of thinking that we as Christians need to return to is that when Jesus died on the cross, he took everything. So he carried, he went under, he took all the sin to the cross, and God put everything on him. Not everything that had been, not everything that now I look back in my life, what has been. It's with everything to come.
Amen. Mm-hmm.
So we are completely now righteous.
Too good.
God puts his righteousness on us. He's actually cleaned everything off us. There's nothing left that God can look on me.
That's so nice, eh?
I'm not pleased with that.
Mm-hmm. Oh, that's very good.
So the word repentance tonight is for all of us to return to that level of thinking and to know that you can't look back on your life and say, yes, I can't actually come before the Lord now. Well, I need to get before the Lord and really just whip my back, and because this is what I deserve, and that's the only way I can get myself to be righteous again, because you are righteous.
Amen.
The Lord. Yes, good.
Okay, so let's maybe stand.
Let's stand. Everyone, please stand with us. Guys, if it helps you, open your hands out before God. We're not going to create any dim the lights atmosphere. Because Dom and Claire just got engaged. That might be dodgy. But we're going to wait on God. And every one of us gets to play. So if God prompts you to share a word with someone directly, go whisper it in their ear. Or if it's for all of us, go for it. Okay, Holy Spirit, we just really like you. And we can't get enough of you. We've missed you because it's been a whole week before we got to do this together again. We missed you so much. Yeah. Would you right now, would you let absolutely all of your plan happen for tonight? Absolutely everything that you had purposefully in store for us be released on us. Pray for words, prophetic words, things that encourage, things that bring life, freedom to become who we are in you, Jesus. Yeah, would you break off restraint off us tonight, that there'd be a lot of openness and freedom to really enjoy you, God, and enjoy what you want to do. We love you so much. We declare our undying, so grateful love for you, God. The gift of life that's on us is so good. It's so good, Jesus. Too good.
Yes,
Lord. Oh, man.
I just want to speak a few things that I felt God was putting his finger on through the preach. Maybe this just can relate to you. Ready for God starts to break some sort of poverty mindset over some people. And Charles' word is good. The value of something is determined by the price that was paid for it. The value of something is determined by the price that was paid for it. And it's very clear that the price that was paid for us was Jesus. So if you want to know your value, you need to look at the price that was paid for you. And
sure, man.
If God is
Sheikah.
If we can catch that, then we will have really healthy self-esteem.
Thank
so
you,
I
Lord.
Just wanted to
thank you, Lord.
Encourage us to realize our value.
Mm. Yeah, good.
And to also realize that true humility is actually to receive, and that we sometimes don't want to receive because we think we're being humble, but that's a religious thing. To actually receive fully who you are, what price was paid for you is humility.
Mm.
So I just want to encourage us to be a little bit more humble. I also want to read Isaiah 62. Get out of bed, Jerusalem. Wake up. Put your face in the sunlight. God's bright glory has risen for you. The whole earth is wrapped in darkness. All people sunk in deep darkness. But God rises on you. His sunrise glory breaks over you. Nations will come to your light.
Kings, to your sunburst brightness. Look up, look around. Watch as they gather. Watch as they approach you.
Sure.
I just want to encourage us that when God called you, He called you to make your name great. When He called Abraham, his name was something else. He changed his name to Abraham. He actually wants to make your name great. And the same promise that was over Abraham's life is now over us. And He wants to make your name great. He wants to put His glory on your life. He wants you to shine. He wants to bless you. And as Carl was saying in the preach, people will want to know you because God's glory is over your life.
Mm, good.
And I feel like it ties up for us as well, because as we go into a place of mission over the next 10 weeks, we're going to be trying to lead people. That's what God's heart is for us, to be sons and daughters, to have His glory over our life. And people say, what is that? And then you can just explain to them.
Sure.
You can just explain the gospel to them. And there's that cool story of John Wimber. Started the Vineyard. He was in the airport or something, and a girl came up to him and said, What is that thing? What is that thing in your face? And he just said, it's God's presence. I believe there's a place where God's glory, God's presence can be so tangible over our lives. People will come into your circumference.
Yeah.
And they'll meet with God. And that's how keen God is for the glory, for His gospel to go out to the world.
Sure.
He's come to save the world. He hasn't come to condemn it. So it's important as sons and daughters that we receive that first, and then we go out and give it away.
Good.
Yeah, I just got a word leading on from that. It's exactly what Gaz was saying. It's maybe there's some people here don't believe it's actually for them.
Thank you.
But the Lord is saying it's for you. Just had a picture of God's finger pointing like at the people who aren't really sure if it's really for them. He's saying it's for you. This full, this treasure is for you.
Sure, man.
And you must stop believing a lie that it's for other people and it's not really for you as well. Or only a portion of it's for you. It's not 100% is for you. So Jesus, I ask you to come and break poverty mindsets over us. I ask that you would break lies that we're not meant for greatness, we're not of that much worth. Jesus, come show us by your Spirit of just how great a worth we are as sons and daughters. Come on, Jesus, open our eyes.
Yeah. Yeah, that word I got earlier about stinginess, for someone here, I'll pick up on that and say that God's not stingy. He can't help himself. He just wants to give. He can't stop. Take it. Say thank you.
saw a picture of someone in a bath trying to clean themselves, frantically trying to clean themselves, and Jesus is just standing there saying, "You're already clean."
Going down Adderley Street and it's all lit up and there's just no cars and it's this big highway and there are no cars and that's just a life with God, you know, life with Jesus, just there's just, you can just go, you can just lift up your arms and he's holding onto the handlebars and the road's clear.
Seeing a picture of a chicken's nest with a lot of eggs in it, and these chickens then eventually get born. They're like a little white chicken with red, I don't know, heads or beaks or whatever it is. A whole lot of them, small ones. I thought I should share it because someone here wanted that as a sign from God. Spirit, we welcome you. We welcome you. We love your presence. We declare your goodness over us, God. We're so grateful for your goodness that's on our lives. We're so excited by who you are and who you're making us to be. We love you so much, Jesus. You're such a good thing. We want to get caught up in you, more and more of you. As Paul was blinded by the sight of you, God. We want to just get blinded because we caught up and we've seen you, man.
Fantastic.
Yeah, man. God, that's what we want. We just want to be so stunned in awe all the time, God, of who you are. Just living, giving you away, God, because of what we're seeing. Release now revelations, pictures. Show us who you are, Jesus. In every situation with people that we need to invite to different things and need to bring your light to, show us ourselves there now, that revelation for those times there, right there. Thank you, Jesus, so much for who you are. Thank you so much for who you are. I see a revelation of the goodness of God that's on your life, a way to measure. Revelation is how desperate you get to make sure other people have it. So I just got caught up and I said, yes, there's so much work to do, man. Just like, this is so good. So much work to do. We've got to go. They've got to know. We've got to, everyone, you guys, you've got to get this. You've got to get this. I want to give you this. That's how God is all the time. Revelation of Him.
So pray against all the things that are binding us here as people. I want to pray against the loss of time. People who believe in their minds have lost so much time.
things that they haven't done that God has put on your heart to do and you've never been able to do. And I just said to that God, it doesn't matter. It's still so much that God wants for me, what I want for you, that God has for you. That stuff doesn't matter. That loss of time doesn't matter. God doesn't look at that.
Freedom
in those areas. Mm. I just ask for a triple input of your energy, God. Your just a revelation of how good you are, and that energy flows through that into us.
Mm. Yeah. Triple input.
Love that. Oh,
thank you, Father. Thank you, Lord.
I believe we're being dared to trust God's goodness tonight. I really feel like dare you to trust His goodness.
Yeah.
Yes.
Trust how good He is.
Yeah.
I also had the other picture of that. Bit of a cliche Christian picture, but of this massive mansion, and you're only in the first room, and you're just digging the first room. The Lord is saying, come into the west and the east wing, into the attic and into the pantry as well.
Oh, lovely.
So, let's go. The doors are open. They might, we see them. Let's just walk through them.
Mm. Thank you, God.
Thank you, Lord. So,
seek first His kingdom and His righteousness, and all these things will be given to you as well. It's like, don't build your own kingdom.
Mm-hmm.
Seek first the kingdom of God, even though those things are good.
I believe there's a place God wants to take us where we start to live with a deep fascination, and it's fascination of His presence. There's just becomes this, we get so many different perspectives and angles on how God moves, and we start to be able to sit and linger and just be in the most what seemingly strange places to us now. Lingering on the presence of God, just dwelling on who God is, and He wants to release that on people tonight, a new ability, a new way. God's going to meet you in the place of your frustration, because you've been missing Him there, whatever that situation is. He's going to meet you there. His presence is going to start to overwhelm you. I know sometimes when you have a Christian meeting, you say, God, if you don't show up, we're wasting our time. I believe God wants us to be people like that. That we start to live with that deep awareness all the time. And it's not just for a specific meeting or a thing. It's for your being. God, if you're not with me, I'm wasting my time. God, if you are not with me all the time, if I'm not having a triple input all the time, I'm wasting my life. So God, release that on us. Release that on us tonight.
Does anyone have any sickness in their body that I'd like to have prayed over? Lynn?
Yeah.
Anyone else?
Backs.
I can pray for my eyes again. It's a condition I have
now. Lord, I just ask. I couldn't resist. If anyone wants to come and pray for you, you're welcome to join us.